This is Crucial Tech, a podcast about technology that affects all of us in a format that allows you to consume it in the time it takes to go to and from the grocery store. I'm your host, Lou Covey, and I probably know more about it than you do. And if I don't, I know someone who does. But first, today on Crucial Tech, we are going to take a look at the metaverse, the new big thing in technology, and what it means for education in particular. Now, I haven't been all that quiet about my concerns about the metaverse. I mean, it's going to cause a security issue, I think, going forward, simply because no one is supposed to be in control of it, which means if there was no one in control, anyone can participate in it, even people with bad intentions. But it's being touted as being a big deal for education, and I can see that. I see the benefits of it. But we just haven't solved the security issues of the internet as it is today. So before I kind of think we should do that before we get into this. But I found a lady named Jennifer Donnelly, and she's the engagement director for a company called Identity Automation. That company manages and provides tools and services for identity and access management for education. They work with the Chicago Public Schools and lots of higher education organizations. So they do a pretty good thing. Now, Jamie in particular is really into immersive technology for education. She's written books on the subject, and she's a thought-after speaker on the subject. So I thought I'd give her a call, and we will have a chat about this. So Jamie, thanks for joining us. And tell me, why the hell do you want to bring the metaverse into the classroom?
Well, the metaverse doesn't exist yet. So it's very aspirational what we're looking at. I think that there are already elements taking place and shape right now that we're seeing in schools. I am a huge advocate for bringing in innovation into the classroom, but I'm also equally careful about how that is brought into the classroom, because oftentimes we're ambitious with the innovation with little thought as to what kind of dangers we're setting up in the classroom. So I'm a very practical use of immersive technology, typically using the devices that are already in the classroom without that learning curve and already protected and have multiple uses for. But the metaverse, I think, is presenting a new era of what this means for our learners, certainly their technology of their future and how we're engaging and communicating in the future. So there's some really great things about the metaverse that I think is promising when it comes to privacy, but then also it is an entry level that we're probably going to make a lot of mistakes on getting there, but something that is certainly coming.
Yeah, that's generally been my concern as well. I mean, education, it needs to be to up its game with technology. But at the same time, you know, we have these technology companies that like to rush their buggy code to market and use the general public to do their beta testing. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of the problems come in. I mean, most technology is not built for security in mind, and it relies on the public who isn't well educated in security to deal with those sort of things. So on one side, I'm a little bit leery about it going into education, but then I also realize that the educators, especially of large districts, are very concerned about protecting the students and making sure that, you know, everyone is safe. So it may be a good idea to use the metaverse as the testing ground, as long as we've got people who like Identity Automation that want to protect the students. So what do you see to be some of the dangers that you want to protect students from in the development of the metaverse?
Well, I think you brought up some really good points. You know, I think digital identity is really going to have to be the foundation of how we move forward in technology in schools, really setting up the management of that. Right now, everything is extremely siloed in schools. You have a million different programs being implemented on all different levels and grades and subjects. Everybody's really excited about bringing in new tools, but it really isn't integrated into the ecosystem in the way that they are all interoperable. Right. So as they're trying to push the innovation, you have the security risks that are now being presented to us, enormous in schools right now, where many of them are being hit with ransomware because of us pushing out so much in schools without everything being properly connected. So I think digital identity in the metaverse, of course, you know, when we're looking at talking about blockchain, that's certainly going to be a piece of that, is how digital identity is connected to every transaction, every activity, every engagement that we have online. And those things really do need to be put in place without us just creating these other avenues that we have in our classrooms where they're all, like you said, here, beta test what we're doing. Try it on your own. Create a username. Create that password. You're enrolling students, you know, without any type of consent happening between district and student, or parent and student. And so you have this trial that's being done, and you're absolutely correct. They're collecting all of this data. I know it firsthand. I actually didn't understand those dangers getting started in immersive technology. And I was an advocate. Go get signed up. It's free. Go test this out. And now understanding that they are, it's not free, you know, that they really are collecting that information about our students and their activity. And it is something we have to have in place in the management side. So there has to be a balance between the innovation and that security aspect for it to function properly.
Well, that's interesting too, because, there is a very strong move within governments to put in strong protections on identity and not to allow corporations to protect that information or to collect that information. But so if those corporations cannot collect the information, which is they're using to make their money, can schools actually afford to pay for the services that would, you know, otherwise provide the cost?
In some cases, a lot of the ones that are collecting are startups. So what comes from that company in the end is still to be known, right? Mm-hmm. So they're collecting information and maybe they end up dissolving and they don't make it. Especially in immersive technology, a lot of people are jumping on the bandwagon, but it doesn't, many of them don't sustain and many mm-hmm. of them just fizzle out. So what are they doing with all that student data? I think that that's one piece of it. But another piece is you have the larger companies that are acquiring some of these smaller startups that then, for instance, you know, you have Microsoft that purchased Flipgrid. So then the concern of the privacy is then on Microsoft. That then will protect the student or not collect student data, if you will, and still give access to the tools that they need. It might be part of a bigger package that they buy. That's the direction we need to be looking at. And I'm on the other hand, as a former classroom teacher, I know what it's like for IT to constantly say, no, nope, that doesn't fit. Nope, that doesn't, nope, we can't do that. Nope, when is there ever yeses, right? So then mm-hmm. you have this clash between your security of protecting those students and your whole, you know, organization, if you will. And then you also have the instruction saying, how can we really meet the needs of these students that are constantly changing and growing without there being some yeses, right? So we've got to work together. And I think that's probably where we're not at. We are not communicating between those two departments, instruction and IT. And therefore, either you get heavy yes, always yes, open to everything, or you get nope, you're completely locked down and you have access to nothing. Good luck trying to instruct your students in using technology. So you have this kind of division here. And really, it should be both parties coming together, collaborating, and coming up with solutions to meet those instructional needs, but also making sure that it fits within the security aspects and the privacy aspects of an educational organization to really align well and provide innovation safely.
Yeah, you know, that actually makes me feel better. Basically, because, you know, I see from the marketing side, companies like Facebook are pushing the metaverse like crazy. And we've already mentioned about how they have a predilection for releasing buggy code and letting us figure out the problems. But it sounds like what you're saying is that the most obvious use for the metaverse is in education, as far as I'm concerned. And yet education as an industry is pushing back hard on those companies to say, yeah, we're ready to accept this as long as you do this.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the way it should be. Yeah. And I will say, considering Facebook, I mean, I don't know if you see behind me, but I have a lot of VR headsets. Oculus is one of the most popular. I get questions probably on a weekly basis saying, which Oculus should I buy for my school district? And I say, hold on, none. They're not really in a place to want to buy for an educational organization. While they're fun on an individual use, that's really not the best place we need to have in a school, that you have a Facebook requirement for these accounts. And you have really kind of, if one person takes that on, then you're giving multiple students access to something through a one user. You're opening up a floodgate of problems. There's so many things you can't manage and lock down inside of the Quest. So you have all of these concerns of, even though people are excited and it is a cool technology, it's really not in a place where it should be used in most situations in schools. I can see maybe very specific use cases that might align, but you run into so many other stumbling blocks, not just security, but safety in the classroom. They can fall, they can get sick. You run into safety of hygiene, it being around their face, nose, mouth. You run into a lot of different situations, even with bandwidth in a classroom. So people aren't looking at the whole picture. And that's really what needs to be very visible with any of this technology. For any IT to be on board, they need to know all those answers to be able to bring something like that safely into the classroom.
You're making me feel a lot better, Jamie. Yeah, because I here's the thing. I had a chance several years ago, just after Facebook bought Oculus. I had a chance to sit down with Lucky Palmer. Now, it wasn't that we had a plan on this. I was at an industry event, and I sat down at the we were having dinner, and I sat down at the table, and Lucky Palmer sat down right next to me. Okay, we introduced ourselves. I even told him I was a journalist, and we just started talking. And he said, and this was shortly before he got booted out of the company. He told me flat out, he says, "We are at least 10 years away," and this was about 3 years ago. We're about 10 years away from being even close to having the computing power necessary to make this thing really work. And yeah, we're seeing a massive expansion of the cloud infrastructure and data centers and things like that. But we have another problem. It's not just being able to produce the computing power, but that computing power consumes a lot of electricity. And right now, the servers are consuming a little over 10% of all the energy we produce. And when you take a look at the alternative energy that we're producing about 5% annually of all the energy we need. So the servers are actually eating up every megawatt of energy we produce through alternative means. So that's not helping us there. But I also know something about schools and that they are a big adopter of renewable energy. I mean, every school district I know has got parking lots covered in solar panels. So do you think there might be some sort of synergy between the alternative energy industry and the education industry to make it possible to actually have the computing power that they need to make this work? Or is that a big question?
That is a huge question that I wish I can answer. I think if we're thinking we're going to be spending less time on technology and requiring less of that technology, I think the answer is no. I think it's only going to increase. But I also think that that really isn't something we're talking about a whole lot of. I think that probably is something we need to spend more time and identifying that. What are the wins and losses of spending that much time on this kind of technology, and how that essentially affects our power, and what is being required in a classroom? I have never heard that there has been a higher demand on the power side of that than what is when we're using immersive technology. Than what is already being used, whether you're sitting in a lab and working on an assignment, or you're working inside of an augmented reality scene and building on an iPad. I haven't heard that there's much of a difference with power, but I do think that, you know, we're looking at a, it's not just going to be computers anymore. We're looking at things like our potentially glasses, right? That will be coming out, our wearables that we have, our mobile devices that we have in connection to those things. So I think it's really only increasing how many devices that we have in technology. And I think probably the demand is going to go up before there is a call out to saying, you know, what is sustainable for us to continue to use in a classroom? What's most productive? Let's prioritize what technologies we're using to meet those needs without using it all.
Okay. You brought up something, and I think I want to make this the last question here. What do you think is going to be more likely to be adopted first, virtual reality or augmented reality?
Oh, I love this question. I definitely think it's going to be augmented reality. I think VR, being in a headset all day long, is not the future. I just, nobody does that. I have VR headsets for several years now, and I spend very small amounts of windows in time. And when I do, oftentimes I'm like, whoa, it's dark. Like, how much time did I just spend? And you feel like you kind of wasted that time. I do think that there should be the amount of virtual reality time spent. It needs to be extremely limited. There's a lot of things that we have not really tested on our brain to identify what being in a VR situation long-term, what that does. So especially in education, we need to be extremely cautious about that. But I do think with augmented reality, it's less disruptive to our everyday life. And even though we hear disrupted learning and disruptive technologies as kind of a positive thing, I think that's actually a negative thing. The more disruptive it is to our daily life, the less likely we're going to take the time to implement something like that. So for an everyday user, I think augmented reality is something that's a lot more seamless. Things that we're already doing and seeing and using, maybe even in our vehicles already, those types of things are already getting included, and people aren't necessarily calling it AR, but that's exactly what's happening. And I do think that has a future of being interwoven into our daily lives without disrupting what we want to do.
Yeah, that makes me feel a lot better for all sorts of reasons. I mean, augmented reality is about an order of magnitude less on a demand for computing power, which makes it a much less demand on power. And the thing is, it also gives you a place where you can compare what is real to what may be fake. So it makes it a more secure platform. So that was Jamie Donnelly, Engagement Director for Identity Automation, and she gave me some hope about this metaverse thing, as well as augmented reality and virtual reality, and how far away we are and what we can do with them. I hope that was educational for you. If you have questions or comments or concerns or even suggestions, you can contact me at cyberprotectionmagazine.com. at cyberprotection-magazine.com, or you can go to the anchor.fm/crucialtech website, and there is a place for you to leave a 1-minute audio question or comment that I could use in a future episode. So I look forward to hearing from you. Until then, next time, this has been Lou Covey with Crucial Tech, a Footwasher Media production.